The Divorce Prescription. Chapter 1. Celine Tate found out her husband, Adam Alvarez, was cheating on her. The other woman was a college student. Today was Adam's birthday. Celine had spent the whole day preparing a special dinner for him. Just then, his forgotten phone buzzed with a text. She picked it up and saw a message from the college student. "I fell while grabbing the cake. It hurt so much." Sobs. Attached was a photo, no face, just legs. The woman wore pulled-up white socks with black round-toed shoes. She pulled up her blue and white skirt just enough to reveal her long, alis legs. Her fair knees were visibly reddened from the fall. The youthful vibrancy of her gure, paired with her coy words, carried an air of forbidden allure. Rumor had it that wealthy businessmen tend to favor this type when choosing a lover. Celine's grip on the phone tightened until her knuckles turned white. Soon, another message came. "Mr. Alvarez, meet me at Elysian Hotel tonight. I want to celebrate your birthday." It was Adam's birthday, and his mistress had planned a celebration for him. Grabbing her handbag, Celine headed straight for Elysian Hotel. She had to see this woman with her own eyes. When Celine arrived at the hotel, she was ready to storm in. But before she could, she spotted her parents, Hayden Tate and Lucy Garcia. Shocked, she approached them. "Dad, Mom, what are you doing here?" The two froze for a moment before exchanging glances. Their eyes echoed as they said, "Oh, Celine, your sister's back from abroad. We came here to drop her off." "Carly Tate?" Through the gleaming froze instantly. Over to ceiling window, Celine spotted Carly inside. Inside, Carly was wearing the same blue and white skirt from the photo. So, the college girl was her sister. Carly had always been a stunner, hailed as Mercedes Scarlet Rose. Her legs, in particular, were the stuff of legends. They were the most beautiful in all of Mercedes. Men practically worshipped her. Now, those famous legs had ensnared Adam. Celine almost laughed at the absurdity of it. She turned to her parents. "So I'm the last to end out." Hayden's face twisted awkwardly. "Celine, Mr. Alvarez never liked you." Lucy chimed in, "Exactly. Do you know how many women in Mercedes would kill to be with him? Better your sister than some stranger." Upon hearing that, Celine clenched her STS. "I'm your daughter too." With that, she spun on her heels to leave. Just then, Lucy's voice rang out behind her. "Celine, tell me something. Has Mr. Alvarez ever touched you?" Celine froze mid-step. Hayden said sharply, "Don't act like we owe you anything." Back then, Mr. Alvarez and Carly were the it couple in everyone's eyes. "We only asked you to marry him on Carly's behalf after he fell into a coma from the car accident." Lucy gave Celine a disdainful once-over. "Look at yourself, Celine. 3 years as a housewife, running around after your husband. Meanwhile, Carly's a lead ballerina, now a true swan. You're just a frumpy little duckling. Be reasonable and give Mr. Alvarez back to Carly." Those words felt like a knife to Celine's heart. She blinked back her tears and turned to walk away. By the time Celine returned to the villa, it was already dark. She had given the housekeeper, Soa Dotson, the day off. The house was empty, with no lights on, leaving it cold and desolate. Celine sat alone at the dining table in the darkness. The table was set with a feast, but the food had long gone cold. Her homemade cake sat untouched, with the words "Happy Birthday, Honey" scrawled across it. Celine stared at it, her eyes stinging. It all felt like a cruel joke, just like her life. Adam and Carly had always been the it couple in their circle. Everyone knew that Carly, the Scarlet Rose, was Adam's heart and soul. But 3 years ago, a sudden car accident left Adam in a coma, and Carly vanished without a trace. The Tate family had brought Celine from the countryside and forced her to marry the comatose Adam. When she found out that the man lying in that hospital bed was Adam, the man she had always loved, she didn't hesitate. She married him without a second thought. After the wedding, Adam remained in a coma for 3 years. During that time, Celine took care of him tirelessly, never leaving his side. She gave up going out and socializing. Her sole focus was on his recovery. She became a housewife dedicated to nothing but him. In the end, her devotion brought him back to life. Celine lit the candles on the cake with the wick of the lighter. The dim glow occurred, casting her reflection in the mirror in front of her. She looked at herself, the housewife in her dull black and white dress. She was lifeless, boring, and unremarkable. Meanwhile, Carly had arisen into a lead ballerina. She was young, vibrant, and beautiful. Celine was the ugly duckling, while Carly was the swan. After waking, Adam had abandoned the ugly duckling and returned to the swan. So, her sacrifice for the last 3 years had been for nothing. Adam didn't love her, but she loved him with all her heart. It was said that the one who fell in love rst was always the loser in the relationship. And today, Adam had made her lose everything. Her eyes lled with tears, and she blew out the candles. The house plunged back into darkness. Just then, headlights pierced the night as Adam's Rolls-Royce Phantom sped up the driveway and parked on the driveway. Celine's heart skipped a beat. He was back. She had thought he wouldn't return home tonight. Soon, the villa's front door swung open. A tall, handsome, bringing with him the chill of the night air. Adam was home. Gur stepped into view. The Alvarez family had long been royalty in Mercedy. Adam, the heir to the Alvarez family, had been a business prodigy since childhood. By 16, he had earned dual master's degrees from the prestigious Harvard University. By the time he reached adulthood, his RST company had made waves on Finance Street. Now, he sat at the helm of Alvarez Group, crowned as Mercedes' wealthiest man. Adam strode in with his long legs. His voice was low and pleasant but distant. "Why didn't you turn on the lights?" With a hick of his hand, he turned on the wall light. The harsh light made Celine squint. When she opened her eyes again, she looked at Adam. He was wearing a hand-tailored black suit, every inch the picture of perfection. His perfect proportions and regal air made him the object of desire for many women. Celine glanced at him. "It's your birthday." Adam's face was a mask of indifference. His eyes lazily swept over the table. "Don't waste your time." "I don't celebrate birthdays." Celine sneered and asked, "You don't celebrate birthdays, or you just don't want to celebrate it with me?" Adam barely spared her a glance, as if he didn't want to waste time on her. "Think whatever you want." Without another word, he turned and started toward the stairs. This had always been their dynamic. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't get close to him. Celine stood up and, looking at his indifferent back, she said, "Today is your birthday. I'd like to give you a birthday gift." Adam didn't stop or turn to look at her. "I don't need it." Celine smiled again. "Let's get a divorce, Adam." Adam had already placed one foot on the stairs when he suddenly paused. He spun on his heel, his deep eyes locking onto her. The divorce prescription. Chapter 2. Celine looked at Adam. Her voice was soft but unwavering as she repeated, "Let's get a divorce, Adam. Do you like this birthday gift?" Adam's expression remained indifferent. "Are you suddenly asking for a divorce because I didn't spend my birthday with you? Carly's back, isn't she?" Celine asked. At the mention of Carly, Adam's lips curled into a sneer. He stepped toward Celine with long strides. "Are you bothered by her?" As the youngest business mogul in Mercedy, Adam exuded a powerful presence built from his wealth, status, and influence. As he advanced toward her, Celine instinctively took a step back. Her delicate back hit the wall. At that moment, the world around her seemed to darken. Adam had already closed the distance, placing one hand against the wall beside her, trapping her between his solid chest and the wall. He looked down at her with a mocking smile. "Everyone in Mercedes knows that Carly is the one I'm going to marry. Didn't you know that when you schemed to become my wife? You didn't mind back then, so why are you bothered now?" Celine's face turned pale. Yes, Adam was supposed to marry Carly. If it weren't for the accident, she would never have had the chance to marry him. She would never forget the day he woke up. When he saw it was Celine beside him, the disappointment and coldness in his eyes were unmistakable. Since then, they had slept in separate rooms, and he had never touched her. He loved Carly. Celine had always known that, but she looked deeply at Adam's face. Slowly, it began to merge with the image of the youthful boy he had once been. "Adam, do you really not remember me?" Celine thought. It seemed that only she had stayed in the past. Never mind. She would take these 3 years as her fooling her misguided love. Celine pushed down the bitterness and pain in her heart. "Adam, let's end this platonic marriage." Adam suddenly raised an eyebrow. "Platonic?" His deep voice was full of mockery. He reached out and cupped her chin. His thumb brushed over her soft lips, pressing against them in an almost teasing motion. "So that's why you want a divorce? You want to have sex?" Celine's face flushed bright red, like a tomato. That wasn't what she meant. Now, his thumb was pressed on her crimson lips, rubbing with a malicious yet seductive force. Celine hadn't expected such a flirtatious side from a man so hot and renegade. He was actually playing with her lips with his anger. Adam had never been this close to Celine before. She always hid behind those oversized black-framed glasses, wearing plain clothes, making herself look like an older woman. But up close, Adam noticed how small her face was. Beneath those glasses, her features were delicate and striking, and those eyes were mesmerizing. Her lips were soft, too. Where his anger pressed, the red faded for a moment, then returned with a slight bounce. Her lips were not just soft but tender as well. It was an enticing sight that made him want to kiss her. Adam's eyes darkened. "I didn't expect you to have such strong desires. Do you long for a man in you?" Suddenly, a loud slap echoed in the villa. Celine had slapped him hard across the face. Adam's head jerked to the side. Celine's fingers trembled with anger. She had been too humble in her love, allowing her heart to be trampled. How dare he humiliate her like this? Furious, she said, "I know you've never let go of Carly. Now I'll make it easier for you. I'll return the position as Mrs. Alvarez to her." Adam's expression instantly turned icy, like a sheet of frost had fallen over his handsome face. He had never been slapped before, not by anyone. He stared at her coldly. "Celine, you thought you could just marry me when you wanted and divorce me when you felt like it? What do you take me for?" Celine sneered. "A plaything, of course." Adam couldn't believe what he heard. Celine fought back the pain in her heart and lied, "You're just a plaything I took from Carly. Now I'm tired of playing with you. I want to throw you away." Adam's expression grew darker. "Fine, Celine. You want a divorce? All right. But don't come crawling back to me, begging to get back together." With that, he stormed upstairs and slammed the door to his study. Celine seemed to lose all her strength. Her delicate body slowly slid down the wall. She crouched on the carpet, wrapping her arms around herself. "I won't love you anymore, Adam," she swore in her mind. The next morning, Soa entered Adam's study. Adam sat at his desk, reviewing documents. He was well known for being a workaholic. "Mr. Alvarez," Soa called out. Adam didn't look up. So I could tell that he was in a bad mood. The air around him seemed to freeze. She carefully placed a cup of coffee on the table. "Mr. Alvarez, Mrs. Alvarez made this cup of coffee for you." Adam's hand holding the pen faltered. The cold expression on his face softened slightly. Was Celine trying to make peace? To be fair, she was a good wife. She cooked according to his preferences, hand-washed his clothes, and took care of every detail of his daily life. Adam picked up the cup of coffee and took a sip. Celine Denightly made this. It was exactly how he liked it. Still, he was angry. She had slapped him last night, and that anger would not be easily soothed. A cup of coffee wasn't going to fix this. Adam asked, "Did Celine realize her mistake?" Soa looked at him with a strange look. "Mrs. Alvarez has left." Adam froze, his eyes snapping up to meet Soa's. Just then, she took something out. She left with her suitcase, "Mr. Alvarez. She asked me to give this to you before she left." As Adam took the paper and opened it, the words "divorce agreement" jumped out at him. Adam was left speechless. He had thought she was trying to make peace. Soa hesitated. "Mrs. Alvarez said you should as soon as possible nish the coffee and sign the papers." Adam glared at the cup of coffee. "Throw it out? All of it?" Soa thought he was enjoying the coffee earlier. Why didn't he like it anymore? However, she didn't dare voice her thoughts. She quickly grabbed the coffee and left the room. Adam's face darkened. He scanned the divorce agreement and realized Celine agreed to leave with nothing, no alimony, no property. He sneered bitterly. She certainly had some nerve. She didn't want a single dime from him. What could a country girl like her possibly expect to live on without money? He remembered how, 3 years ago, she had done everything she could to become his wife. Wasn't it all about the money? Then his gaze fell on the reason for the divorce written by Celine in neat handwriting. "The husband's health does not allow him to fulfill his marital duties." Adam was rendered speechless. His face ushed with rage. This damned woman. He grabbed his phone and immediately dialed Celine's number. The phone rang a few times before her clear, calm voice came through. "Hello. The divorce prescription." Chapter 3. Adam pressed his thin lips into a hard line. "Celine Tate, get back here now." Celine chuckled. "You want me to come back just because you say so? We're divorced, Adam. I'm not going to put up with you anymore." Adam gritted his teeth. "I'm giving you one more chance to rewrite the reason for the divorce." Celine's smile widened. "Is there something wrong with what I wrote? You've been awake for half a year now, but in all this time, you haven't even held my hand. You were in a coma for 3 years. Although your health seems any now, I seriously doubt your manhood is working. You should see a doctor. I sincerely hope you can regain your masculinity soon." Adam was speechless. The veins on his forehead were visibly pulsing. This woman had really lost it? "I'll show you how capable I am in bed one day, Celine Tate." He gritted out. "Sorry, you don't have that chance anymore, Celine." A couple of beeps sounded, and the call was abruptly disconnected. Adam seethed in rage. But before he could vent, all he heard was the busy tone. "Celine Tate." Celine had already arrived at her best friend, Robin Smith's apartment. When she hung up, Robin burst into laughter and gave her a thumbs up. "That was perfect, Celine. He's probably so mad right now he might burst a vein." Celine felt that it was because she had been too humble in the past that he had come to see himself as so superior. People should love themselves before loving others. It was crucial to prioritize one's happiness. Robin added, "When Carly found out Mr. Alvarez was in a coma 3 years ago, she left him right away. But now that he's awake, he's going after her again. Honestly, It's better to be rid of a man like him. Celine unwrapped a piece of candy and popped it into her mouth. The sweet taste seemed to mask the bitterness in her heart. Robin, that's the difference between being loved and unloved. The one who was loved could act without fear, while the one who was unloved always remained cautious and insecure. Robin glanced at Celine, who had already eaten a whole bunch of candies. She pulled Celine to her feet. Cheer up, Celine. When you let go of one tree, you'll realize you've gained a whole forest. I'll hire 8 escorts and throw you a singles party tonight. Celine laughed, pressing her forehead. At that moment, Robin reached up and took off Celine's black-framed glasses. She tossed them straight into the trash. My glasses. Celine went to retrieve them. Robin stopped her. Celine, you're too used to wearing those glasses from all your academic work. You should learn from Carly and dress yourself up beautifully. Celine remembered how her parents called her an ugly duckling while Carly was the swan. It seemed that it wasn't just her parents who thought so. Adam probably saw her as an ugly duckling too. Robin pulled Celine out the door. Come on. I'm taking you out for a full makeover: hair, nails, outie, everything. I want Adam and the others to open their eyes and see just how beautiful you are. As they were leaving, Robin suddenly remembered something. By the way, Celine, you really don't want any of Mr. Alvarez's money. I have my own money, Celine replied. Well, then you're leaving that money to Carly. She'll probably thank you. Celine was rendered speechless. Where's the card Mr. Alvarez gave you? Adam had always been generous and had given Celine a gold-plated black card, but she'd never used it. Celine pulled the card out of her purse and said with a wink, Mr. Alvarez can foot the bill for our shopping today. Club 1996 had long been the playground for the wealthy elite of Mercedes, where the rich heirs and socialites spent their money without a second thought. That night, the DJ kept the music going, and the crowd danced wildly. In one of the luxurious booths, Adam sat in the center, wearing a black shirt and black pants. His sleeves were rolled up to reveal his muscular forearms and a watch worth millions. He looked every bit the hot, aristocratic gur that had women in the club constantly looking his way. Sitting beside him was his good friend, Benjamin Goodwin, the heir to the Goodwin family, along with a few other trust fund babies. Benjamin laughed loudly. What's this I hear, Adam? Celine wants a divorce. The others joined in the laughter. Who doesn't know how much Celine is in love with you, Mr. Alvarez? She even wanted to marry you when you were in a coma, one of them said. There's no way she'd leave you now. We should make a bet to see how many days Celine can resist before reaching out to Mr. Alvarez, another chimed in. Benjamin said, I bet she won't even last a day. She'll probably send Adam a message any minute now. Ha ha. Adam's face, however, was shadowed and stern, showing clear signs of anger. He pulled out his phone and opened his chat with Celine. The last message was from the night before. Celine had sent him a picture of a bowl of chicken bone broth with the message, Honey, even though your bone density is NE now, you still need to drink more chicken bone broth. Remember to come home early. As he scrolled up, there were daily messages from Celine. He had never replied. Not once. But tonight, there was nothing from her, and Adam felt a surge of frustration in his chest. Just then, a naughty cation pinged, signaling the arrival of a new message. Benjamin immediately chimed in, I knew it. Celine's messaging Adam right now. The naughty cation pinged repeatedly as several messages came through in quick succession. Everyone burst out laughing. I knew Celine couldn't hold back, but I didn't expect her to be so eager. Benjamin urged, Adam, quick. Check what she's saying. She must be crying and begging you to get back together with her. Adam's eyes twitched. She had messaged him. If she wanted to make peace, why all that hostility earlier? Wasn't she the one acting tough this morning? The moment Adam opened the message, he froze. Benjamin read it aloud. Dear VVIP, your card ending in 0975 has been charged $800 at Dazzling Nails. Everyone went silent, staring in confusion. Adam scrolled up and saw a series of transaction messages. Celine had spent $2,000 at Urban Glow Salon, $86,000 at Chanel, and $24,000 at Louis Vuitton. There were no messages asking for reconciliation, just naughty spending. Cations of her. The group was dumbfounded. It felt like Celine had slapped them all across the face. Adam's face darkened as he slammed his phone onto the table. It wasn't the money that bothered him. It was that she had gone straight to spend his money after their divorce. The woman who had been so obedient and dependent on him for the past 3 years suddenly seemed to have shown her true colors. Benjamin muttered, "What's she playing at, Adam? She's getting her nails and hair done and went shopping for clothes. Is she trying to dress up like Carly? Carly's the Scarlet Rose of Mercedes, while Celine is just some country bumpkin. No matter how hard she tries, she'll never match up to her. A swan is a swan, and an ugly duckling will forever be an ugly duckling. It will never turn into a swan." The group continued laughing at Celine. At that moment, a commotion broke out in the club. Everyone's attention was focused on one place. Someone gasped, "You guys, look! An angel! The divorce prescription." Chapter 4. Celine had arrived. After a full day of splurging at the mall, Robin whisked her off to Club 1996 for the ultimate single woman celebration. What Celine didn't expect was to run into Adam and his group. Naturally, she also heard their mocking remarks about her. She recognized the people in the luxurious booth. They were part of Adam's social circle. Benjamin, in particular, was one of Adam's closest friends. Back when Adam and Carly had their high-profile romance, everyone in the group adored Carly. Benjamin even treated her like Adam's wife. In the past 3 years, Celine had never been able to integrate into their group. They made no effort to hide their disdain for her. They'd slapped labels on her like desperate replacement bride, ugly duckling, and country bumpkin. When a man didn't love her partner, his friends wouldn't respect her either. Robin's temper arced immediately. "I'm going to tear their smug faces off." She started rolling up her sleeves. Celine grabbed her arm worth the energy RMLY. "Let it go, Robin. I'm divorced now." "They're not." Noticing Celine's calm and indifferent demeanor, Robin managed to rein in her frustration. As more and more eyes turned to Celine, calling her an angel, Robin's mood brightened. "Let's go. Time for a singles party." Robin marched them to a luxury booth on the other side of the club. She waved her hand dramatically. "Bring me all your male escorts." Back at Adam's booth, Benjamin and the other scions were still mocking Celine when they suddenly felt a sharp, icy gaze land on them. They looked up to see Adam at the head of the booth, lazily lifting his sharp eyes to glance at them. His gaze was cold, displeased, and full of warning. At once, the laughter froze on their faces. None of them dared to say another word about Celine. Benjamin glanced at Adam. Even though Adam had never spared Celine a second look, she had tirelessly taken care of him for 3 years. Clearly, Adam still had some shred of sentiment left for her. Just then, a wave of excitement rippled through the crowd. Such a beautiful angel. Angel? Where? Benjamin followed everyone's gaze and immediately widened his eyes in surprise. Holy crap! That really is an angel. The others around him were equally mesmerized. When did an angel arrive in Mercedes? And how come we've never seen her before? Benjamin tugged at Adam's sleeve. Adam, look at that angel. Adam was no stranger to women. He'd seen all types, from slender to curvy, so he wasn't interested in that angel. However, Celine's booth was directly across from his. The moment he looked up, his eyes landed on her. Celine had ditched her thick-rimmed glasses, shedding her usual dullness and rigidity. Her tiny face was as fair as snow. Her naturally striking features exuded a fresh, otherworldly elegance. With her silky hair cascading over her shoulders, she looked like a living, breathing angel. Adam's gaze lingered for 2 full seconds. Benjamin was clearly thrilled. "What do you think of that angel, Adam?" one of the scions remarked. "Mr. Alvarez won't be impressed. His type is more of a sweet beauty like Carly, not this cool, angelic vibe." "Yeah, but check out her legs. Those could denitely compete with Carly's," another added. Celine, in a rare departure from her usual conservative style, was wearing a chic, short tweed dress that showed off her legs for the RST time. Her legs were perfectly toned, proportionate, and tantalizing. These were the kind of legs that made men's imaginations run wild. They were just as captivating as Carly's. Adam glanced at the angel for 2 seconds and couldn't shake the feeling that this woman looked strangely familiar. He felt like he had seen her somewhere before. Just then, a group of male escorts lined up right in front of Celine. Led into the room, each one tall and hot. "They." Robin grinned. "Celine, pick 8. Since Celine was celebrating her newfound freedom from a disastrous marriage, she decided to go all out.
You.
Stay. Benjamin was counting under his breath. 1, 2, 3, 8. Did she just pick 8 escorts at once? One of the scions chimed in, "Why spend the money? All she has to do is ask, and we'd happily volunteer for free." Laughter erupted around the booth. At this moment, Adam's phone buzzed again. It was a new transaction message. He picked it up to see what Celine paid for this time. But this time, "Dear VVIP, your card ending in 0975 has been charged $500,000 at Club 1996 for 8 escorts." Adam frowned at once. He reread the words 8 escorts twice before snapping his gaze back toward the angel across the room. The angel who had just splurged on 8 escorts was actually Celine. Adam was rendered speechless. 8 escorts surrounded Celine and started pouring drinks for her one after another. "Ladies, let's play a drinking game." Robin happily replied, "Hell yeah. Let's do it." Celine lost the RST round. An escort leaned in and held a glass to her lips. "Here, let me help you drink." She took the drink, but the other escorts weren't having it.
"Why him?
You drank his drink but not ours. Let us feed you too." Celine was feeling a little overwhelmed by the eager attention. Across the room, Adam's sharp eyes narrowed dangerously. His chiseled jaw tightened as he stood and headed straight for Celine's booth. Benjamin was taken aback.
"Adam, where are you going?"
Celine was sipping her drink when a strong, dainty hand reached over and grabbed her delicate wrist. He lifted her off the couch as easily as if she were a child. Shocked, she looked up and was met with Adam's handsome face. Celine froze for a moment, then quickly struggled to pull her wrist free from his grip.
"Let go of me, Adam."
Adam's face was cold as he forcefully dragged her away. Robin jumped to her feet.
"Hey.
Adam. What are you doing?
Let go of Celine."
Benjamin and the scions who followed Adam were stunned, their faces disbelief. They all wondered if they were hearing things.
LLED with
Celine?
The angel is
Celine. Is this the same Celine we've always known?
The ugly duckling?
She's actually gorgeous. Benjamin froze in place as he watched Adam drag the stunning girl away.
Damn.
Celine turned into a freaking angel the moment she ditched Adam. Adam's grip on Celine's wrist was unyielding. His strong hand was like an iron shackle. No matter how hard she fought, she couldn't break free.
His long strides forced her to stumble along behind him.
"Let go of me, Adam!" she shouted. Just then, Adam swung his hand, and Celine's delicate back slammed into the cold wall. Her vision went dark as his tall, imposing gore pressed in, trapping her against the wall. Danger art in his eyes as he growled, "Do you think I'm dead, Celine Tate? You're actually out here irriting with other men. The divorce prescription." Chapter 5. Celine frowned. "What do you mean by irriting?" Adam gritted his teeth. "You're dressing like a slut."
"What?
A slut? You better explain, Adam Alvarez." Celine snapped. Adam lowered his gaze, eyeing her short dress. "Your thighs are practically hanging out. Is that how desperate you are for people to look at your legs?" Sure, her dress was a little on the shorter side, but Robin had chosen the dress for her. She had said, "You never show your legs," giving Carly the chance to tonight, "Let's show everyone who really has the best legs in Mercedes and hers." Celine raised an eyebrow. "Seems like you were looking at my legs, Mr. Alvarez." Adam froze. Celine leaned back against the wall, her posture lazy yet elegant. She slowly lifted her right leg and brushed her crystal heel against his ankle. Adam stood there in tailored black slacks that highlighted his long legs, exuding an air of cold elegance and restraint. From his ankle, Celine slowly trailed upward along his calf in a teasing, deliberate motion. It was both a seduction and a provocation. Adam gave her a cold look. "What are you doing?" Celine smirked. "Mr. Alvarez, whose legs do you prefer, mine or Carly's?" Adam's gaze lingered on her, captivated by the delicate features of her face, which radiated an almost ethereal beauty. She looked like an otherworldly angel, yet here she was, boldly tempting him. He'd noticed her beauty last night, hidden behind those black-framed glasses, but he hadn't expected her to be so striking. However, there was something familiar about her face. Celine's bright eyes sparkled with mischief. "Has Carly ever tried to seduce you with her legs, Mr. Alvarez?" Adam's breath hitched. He leaned closer to look at her. "Celine, are you really such a slut? You think about men all day and even hire date escorts." He avoided answering her question about Carly. That was perhaps the most polite way for a man to protect a woman. His relationship with Carly had been a grand love story from their youthful, carefree days. Carly must have seduced him at some point. That was the only way to explain why she lingered so vividly in his memory. Carly was truly blessed to have such a cold-hearted man remain devoted to her for so long. Adam must have never used a word like slut to describe her. Though Celine was smiling, her eyes remained as cold as ice. "Yes, Mr. Alvarez. There's an issue with your manhood. Since you can't satisfy me, I have to go and see someone healthy. Let's get divorced already. If one man doesn't work, I'll envy another who does." She said he had issues again. This woman was unbelievable. Adam gripped her delicate jaw. "Is this some sort of provocation? Are you so desperate to end out if I have issues?"
"What?"
Celine froze. Adam leaned in close, his lips hovering near hers with an almost teasing proximity. Yet his words were icy and detached. "Don't kid yourself, Celine. I'll never touch you. The one I love is Carly." The one he loved was Carly. He didn't even need to say it. Celine already knew. Still, hearing it stung her heart. It wasn't a sharp pain, but a dull, relentless ache that spread in countless tiny waves. Just then, a sweet voice rang out. "Adam." Celine looked up only to see Carly standing there. Carly, the renowned Scarlet Rose of Mercedes, was a beauty with ruby lips and pearly teeth. Years of dance training had given her a graceful, supple gure. Seeing her, Adam instantly released Celine and strode toward Carly. He lowered his gaze to meet hers.
His eyes were LLED with a warmth Celine had never seen before.
You're here. Carly nodded before glancing at Celine.
And this is.
Carly didn't recognize her at all.
But Celine would never forget Carly.
The truth was, Celine and Carly were neither full nor half sisters.
Hayden wasn't Celine's biological father.
He was her stepfather.
Once, Celine had a happy family. Her father, Aaron Tate, and her mother, Lucy Garcia, had been devoted to each other.
Aaron loved her dearly.
He would lift her high into the air every day.
My little Celine is going to grow up so happy.
Then, one day, he was gone.
His brother, Hayden, moved in with his daughter, Carly, into Aaron's house, and Lucy became Carly's mother as well.
Lucy remarried Celine's uncle.
From then on, her affection was directed solely toward Carly, not Celine.
When Carly scored 99 on an exam and Celine scored 100, Lucy punished her.
Why can't you let Carly shine?
Do you always have to outdo her?
When Carly fell ill, her hair was shaved off for chemotherapy.
She cried that she looked ugly.
Lucy immediately shaved Celine's head.
You need to become ugly with Carly.
That way, she'll stop crying.
Night after night, Lucy, Hayden, and Carly would cuddle together, their laughter spilling out into the hallway.
Celine would stand outside, crying while clutching the doll that Aaron had bought her.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Eventually, Carly started calling Lucy Mommy.
Lucy was thrilled, but Carly said, Mommy, you can only have one daughter.
On a rainy day, Lucy drove Celine to the countryside and left her there.
Little Celine chased the car while sobbing.
Don't leave me, Mommy.
I'll be a good girl.
I'll listen to you.
I'll let Carly have everything.
I want a hug, Mommy.
I'm scared.
Clutching her doll, she fell heavily into the mud.
She watched helplessly as Lucy drove away, disappearing from her sight.
Celine would never forget Carly.
At this moment, Benjamin rushed over.
Carly, she's your sister.
She's Celine.
Carly froze in disbelief.
You're
Celine.
Celine knew Carly had always looked down on her.
As children, Carly had bested her at every turn.
She had always been outstanding.
Later, she even dated Adam, the heir to the Alvarez family.
Raised in a life of luxury and affection, Carly became proud and untouchable.
Benjamin was once again stunned by Celine's exquisite beauty.
He murmured, "I didn't expect Celine to look this stunning."
Carly's childhood memories of Celine were vague because she had never paid much attention to this unloved sister.
But wasn't Celine the ugly duckling from the countryside?
Carly stepped closer.
Her gaze swept over Celine with thinly veiled disdain.
Celine, I didn't expect you to doll yourself up like me.
Celine was rendered speechless.
Well, Carly could think whatever she wanted as long as she was happy.
Celine straightened her slender back and smiled without saying a word.
The corridor lights cast a soft glow on her delicate, ethereal face.
She was no longer the same little Celine from before.
Just then, Carly spoke up.
Celine, I heard you and Adam are divorcing.
Can't survive without a man, huh?
Resorting to male escorts to LL the Void?
If I were you, I'd get a job.
Turning to Adam, she added in a condescending tone, Adam, Celine has taken care of you for so long.
You should at least help her ND work.
Maybe as a housekeeper.
Adam's gaze occurred to Celine.
Benjamin interjected, Carly, every job requires quality education level, cations.
What's Celine's?
Carly seemed to remember something amusing.
She raised her chin with a smile and said, she dropped out of school when she was 16.
The divorce prescription.
Chapter 6.
Benjamin was astounded to learn that Celine dropped out of school at the age of 16.
People associated with Benjamin respected Carly not just because she was beautiful but also because she was incredibly smart.
She graduated from a top-tier college, and in Mercedes High Society, no one was more accomplished than her. She was the perfect match for Adam. Beauty alone hadn't gotten her far. It was looks paired with brains that really mattered. The higher up you went in society, the more they valued a woman's education. Benjamin lost all the little goodwill he had toward Celine. His tone was full of disdain. "Celine, you seriously dropped out at 16. Celine glanced at the proud Carly and smiled calmly. "Yeah, you're right." Benjamin scoffed. "Well, funny coincidence. Adam also dropped out at 16. But unlike you, he's the real deal. At 16, he earned his double master's degrees from Harvard University. He made history. On the other hand, you stopped studying and probably didn't even finish high school." Carly acted like she was all above Celine, looking down on her. Tall and handsome, Adam stood there in silence, the hallway lights casting a cool glow on his striking, aloof face as he looked at Celine. For the past 3 years, Celine had been a housewife, her life revolving around him. It made sense that she hadn't pursued much education. Celine didn't seem embarrassed or back down. In fact, her clear, bright eyes met his as she smiled gracefully and said, "Yeah, such a coincidence." Adam felt a strange udder in his chest, though he couldn't quite explain why. He couldn't help but notice how beautiful Celine's eyes were, bright and full of life, drawing his attention in a way that made him feel connected to her. "Celine." Just then, Robin came running over, looking furious. "Carly, are you bullying Celine again?" Carly held her head high. "We're not bullying Celine. We were actually trying to help her end a job." Robin was stunned. "You're helping her end a job?" Carly continued with an air of generosity, "Yeah, even though Celine doesn't have a degree or high school diploma, we'll do our best to end her a good job." Robin laughed, clearly annoyed. "Do you even know who Celine really is? She's..." Before she could finish, Celine grabbed her arm and stopped her. "Robin, let's go." Robin swallowed her words, but she said to Carly disdainfully, "You'll get what's coming to you one day." With that, Robin and Celine walked away. Fuming, Benjamin said, "What's her deal? She dropped out at 16, and she's acting like this? If I were her, I'd be too embarrassed to show my face." Carly didn't get angry. In fact, she had never even bothered to take Celine seriously. Celine wasn't even worthy of being her rival. Getting upset over Celine would only lower her own standards. She smiled at Benjamin. "Benjamin, forget it. Ignorance is bliss." Benjamin then turned to Adam and said, "Adam, you need to divorce Celine. You deserve better." Adam maintained the same cool demeanor while looking at Carly. "Let's go." Carly responded with a nod. Benjamin and Carly followed Adam out. When Adam looked up, he saw a familiar face, the president of Harvard University, Samuel Payton. He approached him. "Mr. Payton, what brings you to Mercedes?" Carly held a lot of respect for Samuel. Although she was academically gifted, she had never had the chance to enter a prestigious university like Harvard. Samuel smiled. "I'm here for a seminar." "Funny coincidence, your junior is also in Mercedes." Adam paused. "My junior?" Samuel said, "Yeah. We have two big names at Harvard. First, there's Adam, and then there's your junior here. Just like you, she's got her double degrees at 16. She's incredibly smart. Too bad you're a few years apart, so you don't know her." Benjamin raised an eyebrow. "Wow, this junior of yours is that impressive? How does she compare to you?" Samuel smiled and glanced at Adam. "They're equally matched." Adam raised an eyebrow, not having met a girl who could match him before. Carly was hearing about this genius junior for the RST time. While she didn't have Anything against Celine, this impressive junior immediately sparked her jealousy and curiosity. Samuel pulled out his phone.
Mr. Alvarez, I've sent you your junior's number. You should get in touch with her. She's also in Mercedes, and as her senior, you should look out for her.
Adam nodded.
Got it, Mr. Payton.
Samuel left, and Benjamin urged,
Adam, check out her WhatsApp now. I want to see what she looks like.
Adam pulled out his phone and searched for the number Samuel gave her on WhatsApp. The name was just a letter C, with a white cover photo.
Benjamin frowned.
What does the C mean?
Adam wasn't sure.
Still, he added the number to his contacts.
Carly, noticing their fascination with this junior, felt annoyed.
Just then, a Rolls-Royce pulled up, and Adam's personal assistant, Leo Zimmer, got out.
Carly quickly ended the discussion.
Adam, the car's here.
Let's go.
Benjamin waved.
Adam, Carly, see you later.
The Rolls-Royce cruised smoothly down the road. Inside the quiet, luxurious cabin, Leo, who was behind the wheel, looked into the rearview mirror and asked,
Where to, Mr. Alvarez?
Adam simply said, To the of CE.
Carly looked at Adam, the city's neon lights spilling through the window and lighting up his handsome, mysterious face.
Her eyes softened with affection.
Adam, what's going on between you and Celine?
Don't tell me you're starting to envy her pretty and want something to happen between you two.
Adam glanced at her, his voice nonchalant, almost lazy.
She's my wife.
Anything between us is normal.
Didn't you push her onto me?
Carly knew he was still mad at her for what happened 3 years ago.
Back then, Celine had to marry Adam in her place because she had left him.
She tried to explain.
Adam, Celine insisted on marrying you.
I couldn't just stand in her way.
Adam looked at her coldly, Do you think you sound convincing?
Carly bit her lip, upset.
Fine, I left you 3 years ago.
If you couldn't look past it, then let's break up.
You don't have to be with me.
Carly turned to Leo and said,
Leo, stop the car.
She was about to get out, but Adam's hand shot out, grabbing her wrist with surprising strength and pulling her into his chest.
With a mix of exasperation and affection, he said,
Carly, you're just taking advantage of me because you know I spoil you too much.
The divorce prescription.
Chapter 7.
Carly smiled sweetly, her heart brimming with happiness.
She relaxed into Adam's embrace, tilting her face up to him.
I knew you couldn't see me go.
You'll always want me.
Being the richest man in Mercedes, Adam was not only handsome but also dignified and influential.
He could move mountains if he wished.
He had everything Carly looked for in a man.
But 3 years ago, after his car accident, he had been left in a coma.
The doctors said he would never wake up.
How could she waste her best years on someone who might never come back?
So, she left him.
Who would have thought that Celine, stepping in for her, had married him?
Then, in just 3 years, Adam woke up from his coma.
Even now, Carly still didn't understand how it happened.
Was it Celine that brought him back?
The doctors called it a medical miracle.
And so, she had returned.
She knew Adam loved her.
He wouldn't push her away.
Adam stared at Carly's beautiful face.
If it weren't for what happened, do you really think I'd spoil you like this?
At the mention of it, Carly stiffened, a ash of guilt crossing her eyes.
She quickly changed the subject.
Did you sleep with Celine?
Adam lowered his gaze.
What do you think?
She knew he hadn't slept with Celine, she was just teasing him, playing coy.
He took the bait, the conversation turning more irritatious.
Carly liked this side of him, the mature, charming man with a hint of mischief that made her heart race with every word.
She wrapped her arms around his neck, her lips brushing near his as she whispered,
Do you want to sleep with me?
Leo,
who had been following Adam for years, smartly raised the partition between the front and back seats. Adam didn't answer, just looked at her. Carly was wearing a red spaghetti strap dress, the hem riding up as she straddled him. Her long, slender legs were completely exposed. She tightened her arms around his neck, pulling him closer.
"Come on, tell me. Do you want some sexy time with me or not?" If he said yes, she was ready right then and there. Adam understood her intentions. But for some reason, his mind wandered back to earlier at the club. Carly asked him who he thought was more attractive, her or Celine's. For some reason, Adam couldn't stop thinking about Celine at that moment. He gently pulled Carly's arms from around his neck. "I'm still married to Celine." Carly was unfazed. "And?" Adam said, "I have no intention of cheating on my wife." Carly went silent, all the heat between them evaporating. She got up from his lap, feeling disappointed. She had her pride. She would only sleep with Adam if he wanted her. She turned to look at him, "Dant. So when are you going to divorce Celine?" Adam gazed out the window, his thoughts momentarily drifting. It was good that Celine asked for a divorce, he had been planning on it anyway. His voice was cold as he replied, "Soon." Back at the apartment, Celine lay down on her soft bed, letting the exhaustion from the night wash over her. After tonight's indulgence, it was time for her life to get back on track. She grabbed her phone and opened WhatsApp. She had two accounts. She had been using her Celine Tate Alvarez account for the past 3 years, but that one was now of Chaley of INE. When she logged into her other account, her WhatsApp was inundated with messages from a group chat with the name Happy Family. She opened it and saw Cyrus Pope's message.
"Wow.
Celine, you're nally back online." Then, another message from Jason Miles came in.
"Welcome back, Celine." Perry Marshall said, "It's good to have you back." All three of them were delighted, eagerly celebrating their reunion through WhatsApp. Cyrus said, 3 years ago, Celine was focusing on romance, saying goodbye to us and running off to end herself a man. So, Celine, is being with a man fun?" Celine replied, "Not at all. Looks like someone's got her heart broken," Jason teased. Perry jumped in. "So even Celine has someone she can't handle, huh?" Cyrus couldn't stop laughing. "All right, stop making fun of Celine. Let's just say she's been through a tough time with romance these past 3 years.
Sorry, it's just too funny. I need a moment to laugh it off.
Oh my goodness." Celine rolled her eyes, wishing she could kick them out of the group chat. Just then, Cyrus got back to business.
"Celine, it's time for you to get back to work. The surgery appointments are piling up. I've already scheduled a tricky heart surgery for you tomorrow at Haven Hospital." Celine replied with an OK emoji. She noticed a new message when she returned to WhatsApp's main page. She clicked on it. It was from Adam. It was almost ironic. For the past 3 years, she had messaged him daily using her Celine Tate Alvarez account, and he hadn't responded once. Now, she had logged into this account, and he was trying to contact her. Then, the thought crossed her mind, "You thought you were better than me, but now I'm out of your league." Celine's fingers hovered over the screen, ready to tap on the chat box. Alvarez Group was a powerhouse in Mercedes, dominating the city's economy. The building towered over everything, glowing even brighter at night, symbolizing wealth and power. After dropping off Carly, Adam made his way to his office. He sat in a sleek, black leather chair, reading through documents. He signed his name at the bottom of each page with sharp, decisive strokes. The city lights reacted off the tall windows as if the whole city was there to highlight his presence. His phone buzzed with a WhatsApp notification. Adam picked it up. It was a message from that junior of his. When he read the reply,
He paused for a moment before a smirk appeared on his lips. He couldn't help but laugh. The divorce prescription. Chapter 8. Unbeknownst to Adam, that legendary junior of his was Celine. And she had rejected his request to connect. At that moment, Leo walked in with a cup of coffee. When he saw Adam's phone, his eyes widened. What? Did someone actually reject Mr. Alvarez's friend request? He thought. That was quite unbelievable. Leo commented, Mr. Alvarez, your junior is quite something. It was totally any for Adam that Celine didn't want to get in touch with him. He furrowed his brow after just one sip of Leo's coffee. Leo asked, Mr. Alvarez, is the coffee not to your liking? Should I make another one? Adam suddenly found himself longing for the coffee Celine used to make for him. It was perfect, just how he liked it. His face remained impassive as he replied, write an 8-gur check. That's my divorce settlement for Celine. She said she wanted a clean break, but he didn't believe it. He thought she was just playing games to get more money from him. After all, a woman from the countryside who dropped out of school at 16 couldn't possibly make a living. This 8-gur check would buy her out and wipe out the past 3 years. After that, neither of them would owe anything to the other. Leo nodded. Understood, Mr. Alvarez. At that moment, Leo's phone rang. He answered, and his face lit up. Mr. Alvarez, I have good news. Dr. C has agreed to take on the heart surgery for Ms. Tate. Dr. C, renowned for her miraculous medical skills, had become a legend in the medical world. The wealthiest and most influential people waited in line for her services. But 3 years ago, Dr. C had suddenly disappeared. No one knew where she had gone. Now, 3 years later, Dr. C had returned. Carly had suffered from a heart condition since childhood. She had been hospitalized and treated, but the illness never truly went away. Thanks to Adam's influence and resources, he had successfully arranged for Dr. C to treat Carly's condition. Adam's expression relaxed a little, and a smile tugged at the corner of his lips. Carly was nearly going to be treated. The next day, Celine arrived at Haven Hospital. Suddenly, a team of bodyguards in black suits stormed in, parting the crowd with impressive force. People were shoved aside as Adam and Carly made their entrance. Two young women nearby were gossiping. What's going on? You don't know? That's Carly Tate, a Scarlet Rose, the prima ballerina. She felt unwell during her dance today, and Mr. Alvarez Adam brought her in for treatment. Mr. Alvarez is here? No wonder there's so much commotion. Celine couldn't believe her luck. She hadn't expected to run into Adam and Carly here at the hospital. Look, here they come. Mr. Alvarez and Carly. One of the young women exclaimed. Celine looked up just as Adam's tall, handsome gur came into view. He was wearing a tailored black suit, radiating elegance and authority. Carly was cradled in his arms, held close as he walked confidently through the hospital. A few doctors and nurses from the hospital gathered around them, leading them like they were the center of attention. Mr. Alvarez, please this way. Adam kept walking, holding Carly tightly, unfazed by the attention. The young women around them were practically swooning. Wow, Mr. Alvarez is so handsome. He's the true definition of a CEO. And Carly is so beautiful, with olive skin and grace in her dancing. Of course. She and Mr. Alvarez make the perfect couple. Another woman said, handsome CEO and the graceful ballerina. Wow, it's like something out of a fairy tale. Celine and Adam were secretly married, known only to a few acquaintances. Everyone else was obsessed with the idea of Adam and Carly together. Celine watched as Adam disappeared from view. He hadn't noticed her, his attention had been on Carly the whole time. She was just a bystander in their fairytale romance. She took a deep breath and refocused, ending the room number for her.
appointment on her phone. She soon arrived at the VIP room 109, where she saw Adam, Carly, Hayden, and Lucy. Carly was already sitting on the bed, with Hayden and Lucy anking her. They showered her with affection, just like when she was a child. They treated her like a little princess. Hayden beamed. Carly, this is wonderful. Mr. Alvarez has arranged for Dr. C to treat you. Lucy, overwhelmed with emotion, wiped away a tear. My poor Carly. You've suffered so much, but soon, Dr. C will make you healthy again. You'll be able to happily marry Mr. Alvarez and be his bride. Carly ashed a sweet smile at Adam. Adam stood tall next to her, gently ruffing her hair. The scene looked so warm, so perfect, like a family portrait. Celine stood frozen at the door, stunned. She really hadn't expected the world to be this small. The heart surgery Perry arranged for her was actually for Carly. The sight of their happy family made her eyes well up with unshed tears. It was then that Adam, who had been talking with the others, seemed to sense something. He turned his head, and his cold, sharp gaze locked onto her. Celine didn't have time to react before their eyes met. Adam's eyes narrowed, and in a few long strides, he was right in front of her. Celine, what are you doing here? Celine stammered, I. His voice dropped dangerously cold. Celine, are you following me? Celine quickly shook her head. No, I'm not. Lucy and Hayden noticed her and immediately scolded her. Celine, what are you doing here? We brought in the renowned Dr. C, the medical prodigy, to treat Carly. Why are you making a scene? Hayden's expression hardened. Celine, you really don't know when to stop. You should leave now. Carly didn't say a word. She just glanced at her from the bed, her expression haughty and dismissive. At that moment, Adam stepped forward, his tall Celine slender arm, and yanked her away. Gur looming as he grabbed. Celine, are you not tired of playing hard to get? He asked. Are you following me around now? Stop wasting your time on me. Get out of here. The divorce prescription. Chapter 9. No one welcomed her presence. Everyone seemed eager to drive her away. Celine found it almost laughable. Her cold, clear gaze swept across Lucy, Carly, and Hayden before she jerked her arm free from Adam's grasp. She ashed a faint smile and said, "Fine, I'll leave." They were the ones who drove her away. With that, Celine left and walked off. But just as quickly, she turned back. She tucked a lock of hair behind her ear and looked at Adam. Adam, do you know why I came to Haven Hospital today? Adam's eyes looked over her delicate, pale face, her skin so soft that it looked almost ethereal. Her beauty seemed to shine even brighter in the dim light. He remained expressionless, clearly uninterested. His voice was icy. Celine, if you keep this up, it's going to get tiresome. Celine stepped forward, her eyes sparkling with mischief as she smiled seductively. I came here to end you a good doctor. She pulled out a name card and handed it to him. Adam looked down at the yellowed, worn card. It was like something that might have been slipped under the door. It was a name card of a famous family doctor specializing in fertility treatments. His contact number was also written on the card. Adam's eyes twitched. Celine slipped the card into his suit pocket. Carly has a problem, surely you do too. You all should get checked out. With that, she turned and walked away. Adam's hand, hanging loosely at his side, clenched into a to know how to piss him off. St. Celine always seemed. Carly spoke up, her voice soft and coaxing. Adam, forget it. Don't waste your time with Celine. She's not worth it. Lucy nodded in agreement. Exactly. Where's Dr. C? Why hasn't the doctor shown up yet? The mention of Dr. C made everyone tense.
She was Carly's only hope. Adam glanced down at his watch. The scheduled time had passed, and there was no sign of Dr. C. Just then, medical staff entered the room. "Mr. Alvarez," they said. Carly, Hayden, and Lucy's eyes lit up. "Is Dr. C here?" The medical staff looked at Adam. "Mr. Alvarez, Dr. C has arrived." Adam looked toward the door, expecting to see someone, but he saw a slender girl slipping away. Celine. She disappeared around the corner. Adam frowned. "I didn't see Dr. C." The medical staff responded, "Dr. C came, but then she left." "What?" Carly, Hayden, and Lucy's faces turned pale. "Why did Dr. C leave? She hasn't even seen Carly yet." The medical staff apologized. "I'm sorry, but Dr. C will not treat Ms. Tate." Carly's bright, beautiful face drained of color. She was trying to wouldn't treat her. "Gur out why Dr. C?" The excitement they had felt moments before was abruptly extinguished, leaving everyone stunned. Carly broke down. "Why won't Dr. C treat me? Why?" Hayden and Lucy quickly rushed to comfort her, speaking softly. "Carly, don't be upset. We'll find a way to bring Dr. C back. You'll be any." Adam's handsome features suddenly hardened into something sharp and dangerous. He stared at the empty corridor, his eyes icy. Celine left the hospital, and as she stepped outside, someone called her name. "Celine." She stopped and slowly turned around to see Lucy. Lucy had followed her outside. She then came up to her and handed her something. "Celine, this is for you." Celine glanced down. It was a check for $20,000. Lucy said, "Celine, Adam doesn't like you. Stop hanging on to him. Let him be with your sister. Why can't you just let Carly have him? Just get the divorce nailized with Adam, take the money, and go back to the countryside." Celine found it utterly ironic. If it weren't for the DNA test she secretly had done on Lucy and Carly, she would have thought Carly was her real daughter. Lucy was indeed Carly's stepmother. And yet, she only ever loved Carly. She never loved Celine, who was her biological daughter. Celine knew that Lucy was infatuated with Hayden, and because of that, she loved everything related to him. Celine looked at Lucy with her clear, bright eyes and smirked. "Is the position of Mrs. Alvarez really worth only this much to you? Or is that all I'm worth in your eyes?" Lucy froze for a moment before quickly defending herself. "Celine, I'm doing this for your own good as your mother. This place isn't right for you." The word was foreign on her tongue, and a bitter smile crossed Celine's face. "You've already sent me to the countryside once. Now you want to send me back again? You're such a wonderful mother." Without saying another word, Celine turned and left, hailing a cab. Celine sat quietly in the back seat of the car. She pulled a candy from her bag, unwrapped it carefully, and popped it into her mouth. The elderly driver, peering through the rearview mirror, couldn't help but notice her. She was wearing a simple dress, appearing composed and calm. There was a quiet strength about her. She had very pale skin, and her body looked delicate, like she could break easily. With a smile, the driver spoke. "You really like candy, huh?" Celine looked up, the breeze from the window brushing her hair softly against her face. She smiled faintly. "Yes, sometimes a little sweetness helps sweeten the bitterness in life." Lucy stood frozen as she watched the car pull away. Just then, someone approached her. "Mrs. Tate." Lucy turned, surprised to see Samson Stone, the director of Haven Hospital. She quickly walked up to him. "Mr. Stone, hello. You have the best connections. Is there any way you can ask Dr. C to treat my daughter, Carly?" Samson smiled. "Mrs. Tate, I happen to know Dr. C personally. I can introduce you to her." Lucy's face lit up. "Really?
Thank you, Mr. Stone.
Samson looked in the direction where Celine had disappeared, a sly smile creeping onto his face. Mrs. Tate, is that your eldest daughter? I didn't expect her to be so beautiful. She looked like an angel. Lucy's smile faltered, and her face grew cold and expressionless. The divorce prescription. Chapter 10. As night settled in at Tate Manor, Lucy sat on the couch in a silk nightgown, waiting for Hayden to come home. In her youth, Lucy was a stunning beauty from Usana, adored by Aaron. He pampered her like a queen. After marrying Hayden, who took over Aaron's business and expanded it even further, Lucy took on the role of the gracious lady of the house. She had taken good care of herself, still radiating grace and charm despite the years. Right then, a housekeeper opened the front door of the house. Hayden had returned. Lucy's face brightened with joy. She hurried over to greet him, helping him remove his suit jacket. Honey, why did you come home so late? Unlike Aaron's steady, reserved personality, Hayden had been a handsome and charismatic man in his youth. As the CEO, his power only grew, and it made him all the more irresistible to Lucy. Hayden replied, I had a business engagement tonight. Lucy suddenly caught a familiar scent of perfume on his jacket. She recognized it was the fragrance worn by the new secretary he had hired. Frowning, Lucy asked, Honey, were you with that secretary again? Hayden raised an eyebrow, clearly irritated. Lucy, stop being paranoid. Carly is upset because Dr. C wouldn't treat her, so you should spend your time comforting her. I'm tired, I'm going upstairs to rest. He began to turn, heading for the stairs. But Lucy quickly called out, I know how to get Dr. C to treat Carly. Hayden stopped in his tracks, immediately turning back to her. He wrapped his arm around her shoulders and smiled. Lucy, you're amazing. You never disappoint me. I treasure you so much. Hayden knew just how to add to her, speaking to the soft, romantic side of Lucy, who was deeply in tune with her Usana heritage. Lucy leaned into him, teasing him with a playful look. I have one condition. You have to re your secretary. Hayden laughed, no problem. I'll re her tomorrow. With that, Hayden swept Lucy up in his arms. Her body melted into his embrace as she looked up at him, her smile full of mischief. But didn't you just say you were tired? Lucy's robe slipped open, revealing lacy, seductive lingerie. Hayden grinned devilishly. Look at you being so tempting. How can I resist? Lucy playfully hit him. You're such a bad boy. He laughed wickedly. Don't you like it? The next day, Celine received a call from Lucy. Lucy's voice was motherly and warm. Celine, I was wrong the last time at the hospital. I've prepared a meal of your favorite dishes. Come home for a visit. Robin, who had been eavesdropping in the kitchen, poked her head out. Celine, don't go. She's just Hayden's lapdog. At her age, she's still acting like a lovesick teenager. She's beyond saving. Celine's expression remained calm as she replied, I'm busy. She was about to hang up when Lucy said, Celine, your father left a bottle of Chateau Latte wine for you. He wanted you to drink it when you were older. I brought it out. Come back and drink it with me. Celine's fingers trembled. Lucy knew exactly how to play to her weakness. When Celine arrived at Tate Manor, there was no sight of Hayden and Carly. Lucy had indeed prepared a lavish spread, with a bottle of Chateau Latte wine placed on the table. Aaron wrote the words Chateau Latte in his clumsy handwriting. He wasn't highly educated, but he had built his wealth from scratch, unlike Hayden, a university graduate back then. Celine gently traced the words with her adored her. She was his little treasure. Engers. She remembered when Aaron. Lucy seemed to be in high spirits today. Her complexion was glowing, and she radiated warmth.
She opened the bottle of Chateau Latte, pouring two glasses, one for herself, and one for Celine.
Celine, let's make a toast.
Celine glanced at Lucy, her voice cold as she asked, how did my father really die? At the question, Lucy's hand shook, nearly spilling the wine. Her gaze occurred. Avoiding Celine's gaze.
Celine, your father, he died of illness. You wouldn't understand even if I explained it to you.
You're not a doctor. Just as she stood to leave, Samson appeared, walking toward her.
Celine frowned.
Who are you?
Samson, a middle-aged man, appeared re-ned.
However, he eyed Celine with a lascivious, leering smile.
Lucy set her cup down and smiled coldly.
Celine, this is Mr. Stone from the hospital. He knows Dr. C, and he can arrange for her to treat Carly.
Celine eyed Samson suspiciously.
This man knew Dr. C? She smirked.
So?
Lucy dropped the pretense of being a loving mother.
Celine, all you have to do is sleep with Mr. Stone once, and Carly will be saved.
Her own mother was asking her to sleep with a man just to save Carly.
So this was why Lucy had called her back.
Celine suddenly felt a wave of heat wash over her, suddenly feeling ushed, her body burning up. Something wasn't right. She looked at the Chateau Latte bottle and realized Lucy had drugged her with Aaron's wine. What else was her mother capable of?
Celine's clear eyes began to redden.
She stared at Lucy, feeling nothing but disappointment. She had no idea what she had done wrong, why she had never been loved.
Lucy, avoiding her gaze, turned to Samson.
Mr. Stone, she's yours now.
Samson eagerly licked his lips and stepped forward.
Nice to meet you, gorgeous.
Let's see if you're as sweet in bed as you look.
Lucy then left the room.
As soon as Lucy was gone, Samson collapsed to the floor, knocked out by the potent medicinal herb Celine had administered.
Celine's face burned. The drug had hit her hard.
She fumbled for the silver needles at her waist, but they were missing. She must have left them in the villa.
Celine hurriedly ran back there. She hadn't returned since she moved out with her suitcase.
She entered the master bedroom and searched for the needles, but they were nowhere to be found.
Perhaps Soa had thrown them out while cleaning.
Celine wasn't used to drinking, and the aftereffects from the wine were starting to hit.
Her head swam, and the rational thoughts she had been holding onto started to slip away, overwhelmed by the rising heat in her body.
A steady, familiar set of footsteps sounded from outside the door.
Had Adam returned?
Celine's eyes lit up.
The door creaked open.
The moment Adam stepped in, her burning, soft body collapsed into his arms.
The divorce prescription.
Chapter 11. Adam reached out, catching her in his arms.
He lowered his sharp gaze, his lips pressed in displeasure.
Celine, why did you come back?
Celine hadn't expected him to come home.
He was in a perfectly tailored black suit, just back from outside, the cool night air still clinging to his expensive fabric.
Celine's body felt hot, and instinctively, she leaned into him.
She was hoping his cold, mature presence would douse the rage within her.
Her eyes uttered as she gazed up at him.
Adam.
Before she could finish her sentence, he pushed her away.
His cold gaze locked onto hers.
What's wrong with you?
Celine froze, realizing what she had been thinking, asking him for help.
It was unlikely Adam would give her a helping hand.
I've been drugged.
Adam frowned.
He thought inwardly, this woman is always causing trouble.
She really knows how to get into a mess.
Wait here.
Adam strode toward the large window, pulling his phone out of his pocket.
He dialed a number.
The phone rang, and soon, Benjamin's voice came through.
How may I help you, Adam?
Adam said, what should I do if a woman has been drugged?
Benjamin laughed, sounding amused.
Is it Carly? Are you not gonna help her yourself?
He then added, "If it's not Carly, just put her in cold water. It's going to be uncomfortable, but she'll be any if she can handle it. If she can't, her veins will burst, and she'll die." Adam hung up the phone and turned to look at Celine. "Can you manage a cold shower on your own?" Celine nodded, "Yeah." She quickly walked toward the bathroom. Adam removed his black jacket. Just as the sound of water running came from the bathroom, Celine's scream echoed. Adam's expression darkened, his impatience growing. What was she doing in there? He walked over and opened the door. What's going on? Celine stood under the shower, her clothes gone, leaving only a thin slip dress. The straps rested lightly on her delicate shoulders, her skin pale and smooth. The shower had yet to turn on, and she touched her forehead, her eyes LLED with pain. Her voice was fragile as she said, "I hit my head." Her unexpected vulnerability, raw and unguarded, caught Adam off guard. He paused for a moment before gently brushing her hand away. Her forehead had reddened from the impact. "You're so careless," he chided. "I'm not careless. I'm dizzy." She spat. "Stand still." "What?" Adam raised his hand and turned on the shower. Cold water rushed out, soaking her immediately. The shock of cold water against her heated skin made her stumble, and she pressed herself into his chest. "It's too cold. I don't want to take a cold shower." He took a step back, holding her close as they both stood under the cold water. Celine's hands began to roam, erratically touching his waist. Adam's body reacted to her touches like any other normal man. His voice turned cold as he asked, "Celine, where do you think your hands are going?" Her eyes glazed with confusion. Celine softly answered, "I can feel your ABS." Adam was speechless. Still pressed against him, Celine tilted her head to gaze at his olive face. "You have a handsome face, too." Adam's patience snapped. He pushed her against the cold wall, his voice strained as he warned her, "Please behave." Celine, unbothered by the warning, smiled mischievously. "Wow, you're so strong. I like it." Adam removed the shower head, looked at her ushed face, and tried to clear her head with the cold water. Celine struggled to push his hand away. "Adam, if it were Carly who was drugged, would you help her?" Adam froze. "What?" Celine's long, wet lashes uttered as she looked up at him. Her eyes were full of pain, her voice low with bitterness. "You're making me take a cold shower because I'm not Carly. None of you care about me." Adam noticed her eyes were red, as though she had cried today. Suddenly, Celine leaned in, biting the curve of his throat. "This damn woman." Adam's grip tightened around her waist, feeling how delicate and soft she was. His fingers barely needed to press to feel her slender frame. She was so fragile. He felt his breath catch as his fingers dug into her delicate face, pulling her back. He growled, "Do you just like biting things?" Celine had lost most of her composure. Her eyes, swollen with unshed tears, stared at him. She looked like she was on the verge of crying. Adam stiffened, immediately pulling his hand back. Celine, however, wrapped her arms around his neck. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bite you. Does it hurt?" Before he could respond, she kissed him on the throat. She had gone from being wild to completely soft, kissing his chest gently. Celine looked up at him, her eyes XED on his lips. "Adam, I've been drugged. I'm still your wife. Please help me." As she leaned closer to kiss him again, his phone rang, interrupting the moment. Adam pulled his phone out of his pocket and saw it was Carly calling. The divorce prescription. Chapter 12. Seeing Carly's caller ID, Adam's rationality snapped back. At that moment, he was a mess. His clothes were damp, his body was marked with kisses from a woman, and his breathing was still unsteady.
Desire had consumed him just moments ago. He had actually desired Celine. Adam didn't even like her. He blamed it all on the fact that he was a man and had failed to resist the temptation of such a stunning woman. He pressed the button to answer the call, feeling guilty toward Carly. The guilt made him even more gentle toward her, and his voice softened noticeably. "Hey, Carly." From the other end came the sound of heavy metal music. Carly's sweet voice followed, "Adam, I'm at a club right now." Adam responded, "No drinking. Have Jordan order you some milk." Carly replied, "Got it. My assistant always listens to you. Adam, come join us. I'll wait for you." Adam turned, ready to leave. But just then, a small hand reached out and grabbed the sleeve of his shirt. He turned his head back. At this moment, Celine was completely soaked. Her wet slip dress clung to her body, accentuating her alluring curves. Her eyes were red, and she clung tightly to him, refusing to let him go. Adam moved slightly, attempting to free his sleeve from her grip. But Celine stubbornly held on, her reddened eyes staring up at him with determination. Adam opened his mouth to speak, but before he could, Celine lunged forward and hugged him. Her soft voice whispered near his ear, "Don't go, please." Celine had grown up, but she realized she was still afraid of being abandoned. She feared standing alone in the bustling streets, surrounded by strangers. Adam, tangled in her hold, didn't know what to do. Carly's voice came through the phone again. "Adam, are you listening? Come here quickly." Celine stood on tiptoe and suddenly murmured softly, "Sir. Sir." That title was unique to the girl from back then. But wasn't that girl Carly? Adam's expression shifted dramatically. "Carly, something urgent came up. I can't make it." He ended the call and pushed Celine against the wall. His deep, sharp gaze her as he asked, "Why'd you call me that?" "Celine, who exactly are you, XED? On." Celine wrapped her arms around his neck and kissed his lips. Her soft, rosy lips pressed against his unexpectedly, filling the air with a delicate fragrance. It was a kiss both tender and inexperienced. Adam didn't close his eyes but instead watched her intently. She didn't close hers either, her bright, watery eyes gazed right back at him. That was when Adam noticed something shocking. Celine's eyes looked remarkably like the eyes of the girl from back then. Celine kissed him for a moment. When she got no reaction from him, she pulled away and gave up. She then turned to leave. But just then, Adam tightened his arm around her, pulling her slender body directly into his embrace. His overwhelming masculine presence surrounded her as he bent down and kissed her deeply. Back at the club, Carly sat at the counter with her assistant, Jordan Lawrence. Jordan asked, "Carly, isn't Mr. Alvarez coming tonight?" Carly started to feel suspicious. During their earlier phone call, Adam's tone seemed off, as though someone else was with him. She immediately called Benjamin. "Benjamin, were you with Adam tonight?" Benjamin replied, "No, Carly. But he did call me earlier. Something about a woman being drugged." He suddenly connected the dots. Carly, could it be Celine who got drugged? Adam's private life was impeccably clean. There was only Carly in the past. Now, with the addition of Celine, it wasn't hard to guess who he could be with. Carly clenched her ST in anger, realizing Adam was with Celine. But her mood quickly shifted, and she broke into a bright smile. Turning to Jordan, she said, "Can you help me get a little something?" Jordan was puzzled and asked, "What kind of something?" Carly's red lips curved into a playful smirk as she uttered a single word, "Aphrodisiac." In the villa's bathroom, Celine's legs grew weak under Adam's kisses, and she almost collapsed to the floor. Adam's strong arms wrapped around her soft waist, steadying her. Celine's cheeks flushed red. Just then,
A string of notes, Adam received a video call. It was from Carly. Cations interrupted them as Adam glanced at Celine, then accepted the video chat. Carly was sitting at a bar counter with a glass of alcohol in front of her. Her radiant smile lit up the screen as she asked, "Adam, is Celine with you?" She was drugged, wasn't she? Adam didn't respond. Carly simply held up a small packet of powder, then poured it into her drink and downed it in one go as Adam watched. Adam frowned. "Carly, what did you just drink?" Carly's smile was dazzling. "An aphrodisiac." Celine's slender frame shuddered at her words. She hadn't expected Carly to drug herself. Adam's handsome face darkened. His voice was cold as he shouted, "Carly." At that moment, a tall, attractive man approached Carly at the bar and tried to strike up a conversation. "Hi, gorgeous. Can I buy you a drink?" Carly gestured toward the video chat, pointing at Adam, and told the man, "That's my boyfriend. But if he doesn't show up within 30 minutes, I'm all yours tonight." The man raised an eyebrow, intrigued. Adam's tone turned icy at this. "Carly, what are you doing?" Carly's expression was bold, her eyes full of defiance as she said, "Adam, tonight, you have to choose me or Celine. You can only have one woman in your life." With that, Carly ended the video call. Adam's anger was palpable, his grip on his phone tightening as veins bulged on the back of his hand. "Adam, you can only have one woman in your life. Mom, you can only have one daughter." The eerily similar phrases echoed in Celine's mind like a curse, leaving her momentarily stunned. The warmth of Adam's presence suddenly vanished. He had let go of her and stepped away. Celine lifted her gaze, watching as Adam quickly changed out of his damp clothes and into a fresh shirt and tailored trousers. He then returned to her, and his deep black eyes locked onto her face. "What's your type?" "What?" Celine was momentarily baffled by the question. "Adam Clary Ed, I'll end you a man. Or two, if you'd prefer."